This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Austin. Today I'm here with...
Jaden Johnson.
So for those who don't know, Jaden Johnson is a four-star out of Louisville, Kentucky, who plays high school basketball for Trinity High School. And you're on the 3SSB circuit now, right?
Not.
UIBL circuit?
Yeah, UIBL.
I think he plays for Team Mocan.
Yep.
And we're going to be talking to Jaden about what it's like to be a high-level basketball player. So, Jaden, since 8th grade, you've been playing on varsity since male.
Yeah.
Where you've gotten a lot of quality playing time. What's it been like just being able to play at such a high level? Because Kentucky has some of the highest level basketball, maybe not like talent-wise, but like it's a lot of high-level basketball. So what was it like getting exposed to that just so early on?
I mean, I don't know. It was definitely good. You know, seventh grade, I was playing JV for male. So, being able just to get into the high school system early and just see how things go, you know, it kind of helped me a whole lot now to where I'm at.
Yeah, I say that like because we played against you your eighth grade year for Trinity. I think you had a pretty good game against us, but it was just just you and Cole out there as eighth graders making an impact for a team that's as good as male is, the legacy that they have was really cool to see, how they're building up their program.
Yeah, our eighth grade year, it was kind of like surreal because it was me, Caleb, Dez, Michi, Jack, Cole, like two eighth graders playing on the top five team in the state. Yeah. It's crazy.
That was a really damn good team.
Yeah, it was a great team. It was definitely a great team, but yeah, it was cool just to be in that atmosphere. You know, being 14, 15, played against grown men pretty much.
Yeah.
So just being able to play with them, it definitely got me a whole lot better as a player and athlete. So.
Mm-hmm. And then so after eighth grade, you know, you all had just went to RUP with that male team. What made you want to come to Trinity? Because you were probably going to be a 4-year starter over at Mayo. Yeah. You had just gone to RUP, so like, I don't think there's been a recruiting pitch Mayo could have that you just went to RUP.
Yeah.
But what was the reason you came over to Trinity?
Honestly, it was just, you know, because Zabo and the whole brotherhood aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to come in. Trinity is kind of like a college prep type situation, mm-hmm. You know, with our classes being 4 classes a day and it alternates, you know, just being able to prepare myself for the next level. And I feel like Trinity was pretty much the best option for me mm-hmm. out of the whole city to go to.
Yeah. And I'd say, like, a lot of people don't, like, know this, but, like, since, like, Zabo had gotten to Trinity, Trinity had not won, like, jack. Like,
yeah,
we were, like, bare bones when you looked at the trophy case. And then once Zabo sat, I think Zabo's first year, he actually led the team to the state tournament. I think that was actually our new coach, Coach Saxon. That was his team, too. They went to RUP that year. And just, he's not there anymore, but the legacy that he left, just all the winning he was doing with all those different teams.
Yeah.
And he had three different NBA players on those teams, too. Johnson, Scrub, and Ray Spalding.
Exactly. It was definitely crazy to see, like, the progression and progress that Coach Zabo had at Trinity. You know, being able to come in from a whole different state and change around a whole program is crazy, to be honest.
Yeah. So then, talk about how AAU basketball has really, like, helped. Because, you know, you don't really get much offering from the high school level just because, like, there's not a lot of coverage about it as there should be. But then the AAU circuits, you have like EYBL, 3SSB, Under Armour circuit, Puma. Yeah. You have all these different circuits. You being on the highest level circuit, how has that helped you like to get your name out there? And how hard was it to like get minutes for one of those top programs, knowing that they're bringing in all these top talented guys from these different areas of the country?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely pretty hard. You know, I was in seventh grade when I first played my first EYBL like session or like tournament, because I was playing up. So I was playing up for Brad Beal. I was 14 playing 15U. I was playing against like the top players in the 2025 class like now. So I mean, that definitely gave me like a up in my recruiting status, you know, because I'm 14 playing against 15-year-olds and I'm killing them, mm-hmm. to be honest. So I mean, like the first year of me playing EYBL was probably my best year single-handedly, because I had something to prove. I was out there because I was the youngest one out there. I was probably the least strongest or whatever, but my skill set kind of matched up against all of them. So being able to use my skill set as at the time I was like 6'3", 6'4", 6'4", guard playing against guards that's older than me. Gave me the ability to use the higher level skills that I have.
Yeah.
So, and then just be able to, I know, because I've been playing EYBL for 3-4 years already, and I still got a whole nother season, you know, coming up for this summer, you know, being 17. So,
yeah. And so obviously, you know, being at Mail, you guys were winning, right? Well, then when you got to Trinity, you really got your. You kind of became a villain over at Mayo because you left Mayo to come to Trinity.
Yeah.
What was it like when you first started kind of getting the other side? It was like, you know, you have played a lot of love from that other side over at Mayo, but then you go over to Trinity, and I feel like, was that the first time you really started seeing that, like, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, and that sometimes you're going to get hate from that other side?
Honestly, yeah. You know, my freshman year, being a freshman, starting varsity on a top 10 team in the state. Again, you know, it's definitely crazy to see the hate from the school that I was playing at last year. But, I mean, honestly, it was kind of like already known that the hate was going to come because I didn't leave Mayo. Even though I was an 8th grader playing up, everybody thought that, like, I was like a lock for Mayo next year. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, it was understandable, the hate, because I was playing up there and I decided to leave. But yes, that's all it is.
Yeah, and then again, it's a lot of outside noise. It's like you still talk to those guys. Like, I know Hayworth probably still loves you.
Yeah.
All those guys, it just chatter from fans and outside.
That whole staff. You know, I still have love to him. Every time I see him, I talk to him. You know, Coach Hayworth was an awesome coach. He definitely is he's part of my journey. Yeah, of my journey now. And I'll be able to play for him my 8th grade year definitely opened up a lot of eyes for me and coaches and all that. So Coach Hayworth definitely was a huge help for me.
Yeah, I would say that also the fact, like, because you came in with offers to Trinity and then we won that Summer League tournament, I think that just opened a lot more eyes, like the pressure that it just put on Trinity as a whole program that season to go get it done. Because you bring in you and Dre to an already team that had lost nobody from that previous season.
Yeah.
And it's just like, damn, these guys shouldn't lose. And like, you become the, like, that our team kind of became the villain because no one wants to see Trinity win.
Nobody.
And you probably know that better than anyone now. They're like, on the outside, it's like, because Trinity's in football, basketball, whatever, we've always won, it's like, people don't want to see you win.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, coming into Trinity, like, I saw that already happening, you know, with everybody, like, the outside noise and everything, you know, because a lot of people do hate Trinity because all we do is win.
Yeah.
Or always at RUP or Sweet 16 or state champions or something, you know, they always try to find something to hate on about Trinity. But that's probably like a huge reason why I came to Trinity, because all of the wins and the academics and all that, it's not just for sports. Mm-hmm. You know, school wise, it's a great program, great school. You got whatever help you need 24/7. So that was pretty much like a huge reason why Trinity is a huge option for me, or mm-hmm. it was a huge option for me when I came.
And then, so you received your first offer. I think it was your freshman year and you were coming in. Who gave you that offer? And does that first offer, like, do you still have a lot of love for that school because they were the first one to, like, take a chance on you? And, like, obviously, you probably kind of knew you were going to get more, but, like, there's always that thought in the back of your head, like, what if this is the only one?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I got my first offer pretty much that summer of my eighth grade graduation. So, like, mm-hmm. freshman summer league, mm-hmm. that's when I got my first offer. And it was from, I think it was Missouri and Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And then I, like, those coaches, I literally still talk to them all to this day. So it's crazy to have that relationship since I was pretty much 14.
Yeah.
And now I'm 17. And then the commitment time is starting to get closer and closer. And I'll be able to talk to coaches that have always had that interest in me since day one. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah, I want to talk about, so I visited this school and you have this offer, Auburn University.
Yeah.
It's a really good campus. They awesome. Got a, when Bruce Pearl's really turned around that basketball program. He's at the number one right now. Big win against Tennessee last weekend. So when you went down there, what was that like, you know, going to one of those big-time powerhouse colleges?
Yeah, it was definitely awesome. You know, it was me, my dad, my trainer Jordan. All of us drove down there to Alabama to go see them play against Kentucky. You know, did the whole experience, did the whole campus tour, photo shoot, all that. And then we sat down and watched the game and talked to Coach Pearl after and before. You know, it was awesome experience, definitely. It was a sold out game, a great, amazing game. It was great to see how they play mm-hmm. and how fast paced and how hard of a Coach Pearl is. Mm-hmm. You know, because with me having to commit, I want to play for a coach that'll coach me hard.
Yeah,
and not just sugarcoat everything.
A coach that lets you do whatever you want.
Exactly. Like I want a coach that'll hold me accountable and mm-hmm. like and tell me if I'm doing wrong or if I'm lacking right here and mm-hmm. I have to pick it up. So just a coach that holds me accountable, you know, and Coach Pearl's a huge person of that. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to see it firsthand of him coach, it was definitely an awesome experience to go down there.
Yeah, I feel like Auburn's one of those schools where it's like, people don't look at them in the same light as they do, like, you know, Kansas, Kentucky, UConn. Like, they're a really good program. They were in the Final Four a couple of years ago.
Yep.
They got another shot to get back there this year. Like,
I always feel like Auburn's, like, a team that's always overlooked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because now, like, they're the number one team in the country. So, stuff's crazy. So.
And, like, they beat Kentucky. They went to the Final Four. And it's, like, even in football some years, like, they're really good, but they're still overlooked just because it's, like, but even just about the basketball, it's still a really good school.
Right.
And, like, to hear you say that you want a coach that's going to push you hard, it's like, I feel like that's kind of Trinity's doing now, would you say?
Right.
Because, like, with Zabo and now with Satch, it's like, they never let you, not you specifically, but they never let you get away with anything, like, that they didn't let anyone else get away with. Like, they held you to the same standards as, like, all the other players. I mean, just yesterday, one of our assistants was talking to you about all like these other star players that come to Trinity
exactly.
and how they had done things to impact the game.
Right.
Because that's the standard they're holding you to. They're not just going to let you do what you want to do because they see the greatness in you too, and they're going to try and get out of it everything that they can.
Right, exactly.
Because like I feel like nowadays you just see a lot of these players that want to see a coach just let me dribble, let me run five out, pick and roll, all right. this. They don't want to, but the coach doesn't, is kind of scared to, like, coach them.
Right. That's definitely, like going on to the season, our coaching staff has been, like, pretty good at that, you know, holding everybody mm-hmm. accountable. And then just cutting away all of the nicks and nannies of everything.
Yeah.
They're trying to get everything, I mean, not perfect, but like to where
it's
a structure.
Yeah.
You know, with Coach Saxon being his first year as a, well, yeah, his first year as a head coach, it's definitely going to be some times of a struggle, but our season's had our highs and lows so far, but now it's just about coming back and just being together and holding each other accountable and trying to get back to rep like last year.
Hey, here's something people don't understand. It's like, last year, Coach Chats was still kind of just running Zabo's system of plays and stuff, because like, at that point in January, you really can't flip over a program
right. And
change everything without... That probably would have ruined the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He still got us to Rupp that year.
Exactly.
With everything that went on. And then I think this year, it's like, being a head coach is so different from being an assistant coach. Because, like, we've heard, he said, like, I want to call timeout, but then I want to let you guys play. And it's like, he's probably still learning some of those things of, like, what it's like to be a head coach.
Exactly.
When the game's coming down to that moment. Because it's like, at the end of the day, as an assistant, you aren't the one to make the final call. He's probably been giving Zabo, like, advice.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Ice or, like, what he thinks is good for, like, for years.
Exactly.
But Zabo's been the one to make that final call what he's going to do. And then that's what goes out to the team.
Right.
And so, like, I definitely think Sacks, like, I still think we can get to state this year. But I feel like just a couple years down the road when he really gets there,
yeah,
I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, all he has to do is just establish his coaching style.
Yes.
You know, with it being his first year, of course, he's still trying to see how things go out and try to see and, like, try this and try that to see what works out and what doesn't. But, I mean, for him just to, like our last season, for him just to come to come in out of nowhere and just have us go to Rupp, that's huge for him.
Exactly.
And then this year, him having to try to do it again, but better and more, like, efficiently, he definitely has to try to find his style of coaching. But it happens. I mean, it's his first year coaching high school basketball, so.
And I said, like, because when I did a podcast with Coach Art, we were talking about Coach Sachs. He said, Coach Sachs just knows ball. Like, he knows so much about basketball. He, like, eats, sleeps, breathes basketball. Because, like, that's all he does. Like, I just think that, like, the way he game plans things, he's not really... His style is not too much coach on the floor.
Because
he just tries to knock everything out in the pregame walkthrough, before the game in the locker room.
Right.
And, like, you probably agree with this. Almost all of the game plans the coaching staff have given us have been completely spot on.
Yeah, literally.
Like, we've lost games this year, yes, but, like, every single game plan has basically been correct. There's never been, like, a thing that's, like, came out of nowhere and, like, stunned us. Like, we didn't talk about that. Like, we've basically talked about everything that they do.
Right. It's definitely, like, not tough, but every good team has their up and downs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. If it's just early in the season, it could be in the middle, but I feel like for our team, our peak is going to be...
Towards the end.
Yeah, towards the end. Mm-hmm. Like, around districts and our region and Rupp and all that, you know, be able just to play as a team. Mm-hmm. Because at LIT, I feel like our team showed...
We saw how good we could be.
Showed spurts of it, of how good we actually can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with being... Manual by 20, beating Butler by 20, and then playing a top 10 Cub Cav team a few a few games ago, playing them pretty good in an overtime. So I feel like we showed spurts of us of how we can play, but we just had to keep doing that consistently.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, it's like the coaches have to come up with these perfect game plans, but at the end of the day, it's the players that have to go out and execute what's said. And I feel like just, again, wait, this is no offense. I'm not talking bad about them. But St. X, they have had a great season so far.
Yeah.
KOB, LIT, like that's incredible in one season. But then again, you look at some of the state championship teams, a lot of them didn't win KOB, didn't win LIT. Because a lot, like Great Crossing, they won KOB last year.
Yeah.
They lost in the Final Four.
Right.
Like the teams that always like that are peaking in like December and January are not always the teams they go on with the whole thing.
Exactly.
Now, you do have exceptions, like Warren Central in 22. They won the whole thing. They won KOB. It's just a matter of when every team finds their peak.
Yeah.
And I feel like, what a lot of people don't know is, and my people don't say this as an excuse, we had not been healthy until the LIT started.
Yeah.
Jaden was out the start of the season. Then Thomas was hurt the whole time. And then when Jaden's getting back, Jew and Garrison get hurt. X has been dealing with injuries. And like there was a KOB game where we had like six active players.
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, like our whole season, we've really just been battling with injuries, players being hurt. I mean, because our first full roster, I mean, we honestly didn't have a full roster until January. Like our first game in January, that's when we had a full roster. And then... No, being able to play through like December with only, I mean, honestly, six or seven people that like actually play, you know, that's very tough for a high school team.
Yeah.
You know, being able to carry all that weight to play against top teams. And mind you, our schedule's not easy.
Oh, we've been on like the hardest schedules like every single year.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
We don't just, like, we don't schedule like cupcake team. Like outside the district that we have to play, we're scheduling like, top teams. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
That Madison Central team, like, they're 15-5. They're one of the top teams in 11th region.
But I also feel like people don't know that about, like, our schedule and all that. So that's why they tend to say things outside of basketball about us, you know, because we've lost X amount of games and we won X amount of games. So that I really doesn't... I mean, it does mean something, but honestly, if we win all of our games from now until district, it doesn't matter.
Like
it means nothing.
Exactly.
So from the district games to the seven region championship, that's the only games that actually
you gotta run the table matter. And win five games.
That's all you gotta do. Like, so our record right now, yes, it's not great, but at the end of the day, that doesn't matter until it gets to the time where you either win or your season's over.
Exactly. It's like you have teams where it's like they'll come into an LIT tournament with like five losses.
Yeah.
And then they get bounced early. It's like it happens. That's basketball is one of the most amazing sports because if a team goes on a run and they get hot, it's so hard to stop a team like that.
Exactly.
That gets hot and goes on a run. And like, I don't know. I just think the talent's always been there, but it's like when you take away players like throughout October, November, that our whole game plan has been around, like Jew, Jaden, that are the game plan's basically built around, and they go out.
Yeah.
And you got like, and now obviously you have, like Garrison's been really coming along fast, like probably faster than a lot of people thought.
Yeah.
And like having another weapon, and like X has really found his role. I think that's something the coaching staff really preached just early on. It was like everyone just needs to buy into their roles.
Yeah.
And I feel like with everyone being injured, people were trying to just take other roles that maybe weren't theirs and just elevate the team, but it didn't always work out.
Yeah, I mean, during December during like the entire month of December when around half our team was hurt, I feel like everybody was just trying to do everything, just to be honest. You know, be like people not knowing their role or just overdoing it. But now, since it's January going into February, I feel like everybody's established that role.
Absolutely. You know,
like a month ago, I think we lost to Adair County by like 30 something.
Yeah.
But now we're playing the top teams, and our games are pretty much within 2 points.
Exactly.
So just being, I mean, you know, with Garrison playing great, you know, he's only a sophomore, so he has 2 more years of high school basketball. Mm-hmm. And then X playing good, you know, coming in and find his role and hitting shots and playing defense, that's definitely a huge factor. Mm-hmm. So, and then, like, and now our team's still not even 100% healthy.
Yeah.
So the whole season we pretty much just been battling with injuries, but I feel like whenever we can establish that we decide our own fate,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's when everybody will actually like realize that we have a chance to go win everything.
Exactly. It's like there was a reason we were ranked number 3 to start the season, mm-hmm. because the talent was always there.
Yeah.
It was never a thing about the talent not being there. Like, the talent was always there. I mean, you have Jaden, Jude, Lance, Avery, Rocco, X, Garrison. Like, you have so many guys that can play. And, like, the one thing that I thought that was good about all those injuries is, like, you have guys like Grayson now, for example, who played a lot in that Madison Central game. Like, imagine he had never gotten to play in those KOB games, or those games, he never would have been ready for it.
Right.
And, like, I think it's allowed our team to get more depth. And, like, here's the thing. Does Garrison become who he's become without all those injuries happening?
Exactly.
Who knows?
Because I feel like during the injuries, Garrison had to...
He had to elevate.
Yeah, he had to elevate and be able to play at the high level. Because before that, he honestly... I honestly believe that he was ready at first. Then he proved me wrong, be able to come in and score and then play against all these top players in the state and be able to attend to that point guard role or the two guard role.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, like, Garrison just, like, he was, for those who don't know, he was on JV to start the year. Like, he was not just a guy on varsity that everyone was looking at
exactly.
to even play. Like, I thought, you know, he would get minutes here and there, but, like, now he's starting on one of the top talented teams in the state of Kentucky. It's like, and I really credit, it's like, the thing with Garrison is, Garrison just finds the right place to be.
Yeah.
He just runs the offense and finds where to go. He never really has to, like, force anything
right.
to get his to go.
And then it's like, Gary's, what, like 6'1", a strong guard. So, I mean, he's definitely a underrated guard.
Mm-hmm.
In that 2027 class, so him being able to show that this season off like our first few games, he was only JV, like mm-hmm. he barely played varsity. And then now he's the top 5.
And here's the thing, like Deadstock Visuals, he don't post anyone. Like you got to be like, he gotta know you, and you got like, I know he didn't know Garrison.
Yeah, he definitely didn't know Garrison.
And like that was his first next game ever. You know Garrison had to do something right.
Exactly.
To get that. Like, because if those who know Deadstock, he's one of the biggest media guys in Kentucky sports just overall. Like, he don't post anyone. He posts, like, the highest level guys. Like, he posts, like, Taylen Kinney, Kay Magwood, you, like, Malachi Moreno. Like, guys that are going to big, like, if you find your way to him,
yeah,
you know you're, like, big time.
Right.
And then well, there's something else I want to talk. So, like, obviously, you're on the EYBL circuit with Mokane Elite. I've heard Deadstock talk a lot about how there's a lot of talent in Kentucky with guys like Malachi, Kaden Magwood, Tyron Stokes, you, Taylen Kinney. A lot of these guys that are so talented but have to leave the state to go find, like, the hype, like, to get their name out there. Why do you think it is that Kentucky, which is one of, like, the known states for basketball, why do you think that we don't have an EYBL or a circuit team?
I mean, I honestly don't. I mean, I really don't know. But going off of, like, the history of it, I mean, all the top players do leave. I mean, after their sophomore or junior season, it's a prep school.
Yeah.
So, like, because Taylen left last year, and now he's at OTE, and then Tyron's always been gone. I mean,
yeah,
he left, like, a long time ago. Yeah. I think it was, like, fifth grade or something like that. It was, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, all the top players pretty much leave to go do bigger and things. So I feel like that's pretty much a reason why, because I feel like the top players do leave. Like, Caden, he left, and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So just going off that, I feel like that's the reason why.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, look at some of these guys who got, like, I forgot one, Jasper Johnson. He's one of the Kentucky. He's the top 20, I think, in the class of 25. Like, there's so many good guys that can all play, but because, like, we don't have, like, a shoe circuit here, they have to go leave to find someone. Like, that's why it's kind of cool. Like, you still have guys like Malachi that are still here who are going to go somewhere big, and they still have the offers.
Right. I feel like that's probably a huge part of it, too, because if you stay here and you're not getting, like, a whole lot of offers, I mean, yeah, it's a high reason for you to leave. But if you are here and you're still getting all your offers, it's really no point, to be honest. Like, because
you don't have to leave at that
point. Exactly, because if you're still getting your offers and you're still top of the rankings, I mean, there's really no point of you leaving, especially if you're still getting heavily recruited by all these schools.
Yeah. I feel like with Taylen, like, I think he was getting offers at Newport, but, like, nothing, like, crazy. But, yeah, like, when he left to go to OTE, that's when everyone started realizing, oh, shit, this kid's legit. This kid can ball. Like, it's not just him playing in a Newport system. He gets to do everything. Like, he's been balling. Like, he knows how to, like, when you get drafted, I think he was, like, the number one overall pick in the OTE draft or whatever. Like, you don't just get that off of luck. Like,
right, yeah.
You got to prove that you can do that.
Exactly.
So, obviously, your mom and dad, they've been there a lot. They've been, like, their whole basketball journey. They're almost at every game.
Yeah.
How have they helped keep you steady? Because, obviously, it's a lot getting offers from all these schools.
Yeah.
Like, what's their message to you on, like, before you pick a school, like, or, like, every time you get an offer, what's their message to you?
Pretty much just to stay humble, you know, be able to not get my head too big over getting an offer here or getting an offer from there. And then just, you know, like coaching-wise, be able to find a coach that'll push me and not just sugarcoat everything and, like, tell me how it actually is going to be and how he's going to play me. Like, I don't know. And then, you know, my dad's a huge role in my basketball, all this going on, because, you know, since day one, it was just me and him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it started with me and him, and then me and Jordan. And then, so it was always just us three training.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then my mom, you know, she's basketball heavy, so she's always been around basketball her whole life, so she knows how all this stuff goes, and be able just to choose the right school or right program that's best for me. So
I want to talk about, so for those who don't know, Jordan the trainer, he started out in Atlanta, and then he moved to Kentucky, and then he moved back to Atlanta. He's one of the best trainers. He's trained NBA players like Scoot Henderson, D'Angelo Russell. And he also trained you.
Right.
So, like, with him training all those top guys who have reached the pinnacle of basketball, which is the NBA.
Right.
What has he told you? And, like, what training has he given you that, like, because he doesn't just train anyone. He trains the best of the best.
Right.
And, like, what did he see in you since day one? Like, I want to train you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been training with Jordan since fourth grade. I think third or fourth grade, because we started training at IUS. It was me, Chance, and Jordan. So, you know, since day one, he's just always seen that edge in me. You know, be able to, I know, because I was kind of fat back then, but just being able to have that guard skill and be able to have that mindset that I'm just a walking mismatch. You mm-hmm. know, because if you put a big man on me, I can go past him. If you put a guard on me, I can post up on him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always seen that and be able to teach me the game from every type of level. You know, oh, yeah. be able, because I was in like sixth grade training with D'Angelo Russell, Keelan Martin, who else? All those type players,
yeah.
you know, and he put me in that situation to get better from that aspect, to be able to talk to them, because it's not just about basketball, because it's also about life too. Because after basketball, yeah, what am I going to do?
So I gotta have a plan B outside.
Exactly.
Of basketball.
So be able to talk to them, like talk to them during a workout or after a workout. It was always like awesome because. It's surreal because I'm training. I'm sitting here training and doing drills with NBA players that I see them on a TV.
Mm-hmm.
So being able just to talk to them about stuff like that is pretty cool. And then be able to train with them and have that relationship for so many years, because now to this day, I'll still talk to D'Lo
mm-hmm.
about like situations I'm going through mm-hmm. and all that. And then Jordan, I talk to him every single day. You know, even if he's in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
you know, training with Scoot and all them, I still try to find a way to talk to him mm-hmm. and see how he's doing. And then every time he comes back down here, I always train with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the summer, I'll go down to Atlanta and train with him in Scoot. So, I mean, training with Jordan definitely is a huge part of my career.
Mm-hmm.
And he's definitely the reason why I'm here today.
Yeah. Yeah, I go back to what you guys said earlier in that whole thing was you're a walking mismatch. It's like, I think if you go back to around like 2017, like, I feel like Ben Simmons was like the first guy that was really like that. And he couldn't shoot, but like, he was that first guy that was like a walking mismatch. Like a 6'10 point guard that was a legit point guard that could handle the ball, could pass the ball, could get downhill. Because like, before that you had like, I feel like that was really the start of the positionless era of basketball, because before that you were still having like straight point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, and all that. Now it's like you have guys like in the NBA, like I saw Jokic taking the ball before yesterday, running
exactly.
the point, like, and you see a big man who is, he's still kind of chunky, averaging 10 assists, 27 a game, averaging a triple-double. Like, basketball has evolved past a point where you can get away without having to dribble, without having to shoot. Like, you really have to be able to do everything almost.
Right.
It's like, if you can't, like, everyone, like, I know, like, it used to be a thing where it's like, big guard, like, he's a big guard. Like, now it's like, everyone's kind of got to play like a guard. It's like, for example, like, Carl Anthony Towns, he came into the league as, like, the first shooting big, basically. Like, and he made his bread and butter off being able to shoot as a five. Because a lot of fives couldn't shoot back then still.
Right.
And so, like, look at a guy like you. A guy who's 6'6", can handle the ball, and still score.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's just where basketball is gone. I feel like Jordan definitely kind of saw, like, that's where it was going.
Right.
And he knew the, like, because, I mean, UCU, it's like, when you get the ball in the post, it's not always, like, with you sometimes, it's just, like, you know, get the ball in the post, spin, layup.
Right.
With you, it's like, I got the mid-range.
Right.
I can still post you up. It's like, having that bag, as people say now a lot of times, it's like, you do have to have, like, a skill set at any position.
Right. I feel like that's definitely a huge part in what college coaches, like, see. Because nowadays, if you're between 6'4 and 6'6, 6'7, you have to be able to guard all five spots on the floor. Because if you get switched onto somebody during like a ball screen or a handoff, you have to be able to contain them and not have them and not have them score that bucket. So being able just to have that play style of to where I can guard everybody on the court, that's definitely what college coaches like seeing in me. So,
I think Coach Sack said it a couple days ago. Actually, it's like college coaches aren't looking for positions.
Right.
They want guys who can just play.
Exactly.
Because they'll find, like, that's the difference between like a college level coach. they'll find a way for you to get on the floor if you can play.
Right.
Because, like you said, if you're between, like, 6'4", 6'7", like, you're not just going to be playing, like, the 3 or the 4. You might be playing the 2 or, like, a 3 that dribbles a lot. Right. Like, it's just how basketball works now.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, against Covcath, you dropped your career high 32 points. Mm. You started the game 1-for-4.
Yeah.
How did you, like, because obviously, you know, a lot of kids these days, they miss that many shots. They don't want to shoot anymore. Their confidence is wrecked. How are you able to still go off the way you did and but overcome that bad start you had shooting?
I mean, honestly, you know, it was just a matter of trying to get to my spot. You know, mm-hmm. be like from I'd say June to now, I've been training with Deion Lee at Legends. You know, that's just all I've been working on, just trying to get to our spots and just try to score at a consistent level. You know, mm-hmm. and I feel like my consistent level now is that mid range. Mm-hmm. And that whole game, I was just getting to my spot, getting to my mid range the whole time, just kept shooting. You know, because I mean, my whole life I have always been a shooter. You know, at all levels. You know, mm-hmm. so just being able to keep shooting consistently and not have the mindset of, oh, I'm 2-for-6 right now. I have to keep passing the ball around and not shoot. So just be able to have that, the mindset of that, the next one's going in. Mm-hmm. And that night, that's exactly how it was. I was just able to hit my shots and just get in all my spots. So just be able to play together.
But then on the flip side of that, how do you know some nights where it's like, all right, tonight might not be my night shooting the ball.
Yeah.
How do you address that in your mind that tonight might not be my night? And how do you know that it's time to impact the game in a different way, whether it's defense, rebounding? Like, when does that come into your mind? It's like, I'm not saying, like, when you need to say, stop shooting the ball.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe it's time to find other ways to impact the game.
I mean, yeah, definitely, like, off, not the first shot, but now I shot out my first shot, either get to the rim or a mid-range so I can see the ball going through the net. And then that opened up more lanes for me and all my teammates because now if I attack, there's 2 or 3 guys that'll collide, so that means someone's open. Mm-hmm. So if I can find if I have that ability to find the person that's open, our whole team's winning. So just be able to do that, and then just be able to just get to the rim. I mean, because I'm 6'6", 210, mm-hmm. be able. So if you're in front of me, I would be able to get by you easily.
Yeah. And so, I like what we said. It's like the mid-range is like, you've probably seen those NBA shots charts on like ESPN and all that. The mid-range has almost become like a lost part of the game. Like, no one really shoots mid-range anymore. And like, there's one guy that comes to mind, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
He made his bread and butter, like, even to this day, in that mid-range area. Just like, getting to his, like, because everyone calls Kawhi the robot. Like, Kawhi would just get to his spot and knock it down. Like, he never really did on extra things.
Exactly.
And, like, but when he knew, like, especially, like, in that 2019 part of his, when he was, like, the MVP almost.
Yeah.
Like, when he knew, like, he could also impact the game defensively so well. Like, because he's about your height, 6'7".
Yeah.
Like, long arms. He could also impact that game on the defensive end so well. But then would also know, like, he was, like, Kawhi was quiet on the floor, but his actions were just so loud with what he did.
Yeah, I feel like his play style is definitely somebody to look over because all he does is just get to a spot within, like, 3 or 4 dribbles max.
Yeah,
so him being able to just to get to his 2-dribble mid-range or his post-up shot, like, it's just crazy to see that. That's how I'm trying to play now.
Yeah, it's like, he doesn't have to, like, waste all these dribbles, like, waste time on the shot clock to get to this spot. Like, he knows where he's best to operate, and that's where he goes. Like, he can make threes, but he's never tried to be a three-point shooter because he didn't have to, because he knew if he beat you to his spot, he was going to get a bucket.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm asking you. It's like, sometimes I see, like, when you get to your spot, it's always a bucket. Right. And then sometimes you go somewhere else, and it's like, if we get to our spot every single time,
yeah,
it's a bucket consistently.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah. All right, this has been another episode of the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Haas.
I'm Jaden Johnson.
Thank you for listening.
If you're an RIA, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.